I was just thinking there, you know, this about Solomon. And when Solomon, you know, Jesus talks about his splendor and he builds this amazing temple and this amazing palace and he's got all this wealth and he asks for wisdom and knowledge to govern the vast people. But this, I keep reading it over and over again. Well, it's a few times in Chronicles where it says that Solomon got down on his knees and it says, and he spread his hands out towards the temple. And for some reason, it really impacted me. I was really moved by it, the thought of this great king who had such amazing power, such amazing wisdom, and such amazing honor throughout all of the sort of known world, on his knees, spreading out his hands to the temple. I was sort of thinking about that and meditating on that and thinking, well, his hands were spread out towards the temple, but ultimately when the curtain was torn in two and the presence of God comes into us, and the Bible says we're the temples of the Holy Spirit, we're little temples, aren't we? So instead of Solomon spreading his hands out towards the temple, it's like the little temples that we are spreading our hands back to God, reflecting in him. And, you know, with us being the bride of Christ and Christ being the groom, it was about, I felt God speaking to us about looking to him and not at ourselves, not looking at ourselves individually, not looking at each other personally, not looking to the church, but ultimately looking to him, and in all that we go through, in all circumstances, spreading our hands out to him and receiving from him. And I feel that's part of Prayer Mountain, that actually what we're doing is we're taking our eyes off ourselves and all of our circumstances, and we're looking to him ultimately. Prayer Mountain is about going this way, isn't it? And receiving from him, hearing from him. So Father in heaven, I just pray for us all. Lord, just feel free to lift your hands to God. Lord, we lift up holy hands to you. We thank you for your great work on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you did tear the curtain in two. We thank you, Lord, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we can reflect back your greatness to you, Lord. You are so worthy. And we ask you in Prayer Mountain, as we go through it over these weeks and months and years, Lord, that you would bless us as we glorify your name. Make us a beautiful bride to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Well done. So we'll do some, I'll do a little bit of sharing and teaching and stuff. Not like a sermon, more like just instruction about tips and things about doing Prayer Mountain. And then we'll actually spend some time praying again, eh? So a couple of things. Just show, who's here for the first time? Oh man, that's a lot of people. Okay. Let me just tell you some stuff that you need to know. That first one was recorded, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah.
And can we make that available to everyone somehow? Stick it on the website or something in the next month or so. Oh, whatever, you know. But next month would be great. So what I'd like you to do is, those who heave the first time, I'd like you to listen to that one. I'm going to repeat a little bit of it, but we prayed through the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to do that again. We're going to pray something else tonight, but you need to be able to note how to do that. You need to know how to be able to pray through the Lord's Prayer in an hour or half an hour. That's on that. So the whole thing's there, isn't it? Not just the teaching, the actual prayer time. Was that recorded? Oh, that's no, okay. We'll find out. Hopefully, we'll have a look. Okay. We'll have a listen back. Okay. So let me just tell you, did you all get one of these then, and one of these, when you came in? That's cool. Who was here the first time and got one of these? Right, what you need to do is bin the stuff that's in yours, because it's too small to read and rubbishy. This is much better. It's too small, isn't it? You're like getting binoculars to do morning and evening prayer. So he is the right size one over there that Marion's done. We just did it quickly, you see. People were doing it in a rush. But this is done much better. So there's some over there. You can grab them, stick them in your sheet, in your Prayer Mountain folder, and bin the others. And then in this one, there's morning and evening prayer. There's the Lord's Prayer, how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. And there's also what we're going to do tonight, which is the whole armour of God, praying through the whole armour of God. Can we just stick those little rundown of the mountains on? So just the general vision of Prayer Mountain and what we're aiming to be able to do and to achieve is obviously we honestly believe this is the Holy Spirit doing this. Holy Spirit giving birth to something. So I think that birth thing was a prophetic thing for me to help me know how long it's going to be. I think this is going to be 9 months. I think after 9 of these sessions, I'll have given you enough prayer tracks to be able to run on, to pray as long as you want. And then, you know, we'll repeat it. All the people might repeat it if we keep doing prayer mountain. If new people in the church want to do it, which I hope they do. But if you do it, there'll be revival anyway. Because this is stuff that actually truly changes your life more than anything else. Your own personal relationship with God being developed is the most important thing you ever do. It's the most transformational thing that ever happens to you. Okay, the vision is to be able to pray for various times and build a prayer life so that you're able to pray for a couple of hours a day if you can and would like to and need to. Which, you know, through this life, you will need to sometimes. So we're going to go gradually and build it up over the months and over the weeks. How many of you have been praying morning and evening prayer? Been doing it? You don't have to do it every single day, by the way. It's not legalistic. What it is, we were saying last time, is like going to the gym, me being an expert on these things. When you go to the gym, you're given specific things to do. And in a few minutes, we'll do an hour's blast in the gym, like going to, you know, body workout, but it's a prayer workout, okay? That's like just to inspire you to do a little bit yourself at home every day. You know that what actually changes your life and what really transforms things is doing a little bit of something every day, don't you? A little bit every day is what actually changes you. And you build on little bits till you're able to do more and more and more. I won't repeat myself. You can listen to the talk from the first time. But I was taught to do that as a young Christian. I only realized decades later that was pretty rare. Most people aren't. So I'd like to teach you that. So basically, this is how I feel the Holy Spirit's given us the vision to do that. Rosebery Topping is 300 meters. And at 300 meters, I'm just using this as a picture in our head. But anyway, Rosebery Topping, what we're calling Rosebery Topping, is to do morning and evening prayers and to be able to pray for half an hour a day and attend the school of prayer, which is this. This isn't Prayer Mountain. This is the prayer school. Prayer Mountain is what you do on your own. But the school of prayer is this once a month. So morning and evening prayer are in here and are basically, there's a shorter version and a longer version. If you just begin there and start doing that, then actually that will have quite a significant effect on your life. It really will. Beginning and ending the day deliberately with God is very significant. And actually, you know what? I was thinking while I was there, you could build that up to be your half an hour of prayer if you want. Or is it morning, evening prayer and half an hour? Well, you better make it harder, otherwise I'm not going to go anywhere, are we? No. Do morning, evening prayer and half an hour, okay? Yeah, that's Rosebery Topping. Do you know what? That is quite a height. And I said last time, if you go up Rosebery Topping, the whole world's different, isn't it? Cars look like matchbox cars. Your environment, your perspective changes. And I assure you, absolutely promise you, that if you're praying 30 minutes a day and starting and ending your day with God, your perspective will completely change. You'll be way above many, many problems and issues that will look tiny because you are developing your relationship with God. And when you do that, wow, it's the most important thing. If you do this, if you do any of this and start to go up these, ascend the hill of the Lord like this, you will become very blessed because your relationship with God will be the most important thing in your life and you'll be enjoying it. And in these prayer times, you'll become very close to God. And when you're close to God, you don't feel like problems can destroy you. And you don't feel like what life throws at you is overwhelming because you've always got someone who's near to you, who you're very intimate with and close. In these prayer times, you'll weep and you'll laugh and you'll dance and you'll worship the Lord. You'll kneel down, you'll lie down, you'll cry like a baby. Many things will happen in the presence of the Lord. This isn't a clinical thing. This is an emotional, real, intimate relationship with God It's phenomenal. And these are just the little keys to get you going. Once it's rolling, you don't have to stick to these things. But it's always helpful to have some tracks in your head. Anyway, here's that's the thing. Snowdon is 1,000 meters. It's quite a bit higher. And this is quite a bit higher as well. It's morning, evening prayer. You're building on that. You go into 1 hour of prayer a day, which is very awesome to be able to do that. You attend the school of prayer for the 9 months. And you you fast one day a month, which I'll show you how to do in a minute. Okay, we're going higher. 3,000 meters, the Eiger. Isn't that a gorgeous looking mountain? The Eiger. Morning and evening prayer. You're praying for 1.5 hours a day. Wow, that is awesome. You attend the school of prayer for 9 months. And you fasting once a month, and you having one day a month that you give to the Lord, you sort of set aside special time between you and him where you're going to seek him for a couple of hours or 3 hours. I'll show you how to do that in a minute. Okay. Kilimanjaro. 5,000 meters. We know people who've climbed this and been airlifted off. One was brought down in a wheelbarrow, the other was airlifted off. Altitude sickness. But 5,000 meters is really high. Morning and evening prayers. 2 hours of prayer, of daily prayer. So it's become a normal part of your life to be able to pray for that long. You attend school of prayer. You fast a couple of times every other week. You're fasting for a day. Once a month, you're going for your little prayer day. And 1 week a year, you're joining in the week of prayer, which hasn't been invented yet, that we're going to do next year. We'll finish school of prayer, where we'll have a week given to the Lord, where we'll have some early morning prayer meetings and some extra prayer meetings, maybe an all-night prayer meeting, and lots of prayer together. But also in that week, maybe you devote yourself to say, right, I'm going to go up Everest this week. I'm going to go up the Eiger every day of this week. It's a tremendous challenge to be able to do that. I tell you, and it'd be phenomenal. Everest, highest place on earth. Morning and evening prayers. Don't underestimate the power of them still. Still part of everything, them. 3 hours of prayer. You're leading the school of prayer, you might have noticed then. By the time you're doing this regularly, you could be able to teach one of these sessions and lead prayer meetings for the church. Definitely. You're a prayer warrior if you're doing this. I'm telling you now. You're up with all the saints, you know, all the mighty men and women of God who've ever lived. Incidentally, all of them did this. All of them. All of them. You will not read of anyone in church history who you look up to who wasn't a mighty prayer. Nobody. It's well within your reach and grasp this. As I said on Sunday, prayer isn't a gift. It'd be great if it was. I'll have the gift of tongues, thanks. Can I have the gift of prayer? It isn't a gift. It's a discipline. It's in none of the grace gift lists, prayer. Prayer is for all of us. It's daily bread, daily breath, and a discipline that you learn. So the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, and he did, he taught them. So, fast one day a week, or one day a week now, not once a month, okay? So you're fasting every week, one day. You still go for your one day of prayer a month, and you join in the week of prayer. Wow, that is scary, isn't it? But phenomenal as well. And so let me just give you a few practicalities and a few little bit of teaching in the midst of it. Obviously, prayer, the thing about I was interested to read that, and I'm not going to do a sermon, but I'll do this. Buddy Graham said that someone said to him in an interview, if you could change anything about your 50 years of ministry, what would it be? He said, yes, I would preach less and pray more. Well, that was interesting. And, you know, obviously Jesus has set the pattern for this in that, and you know we believe in evangelism and preaching and ministry, we do, absolutely, very muchly, but actually, without a very strong prayer base and fire behind it, it's like, you know, moving a mountain with a shovel, you know. We need revival, don't we? And, you know, Jesus has set the pattern, really, for effective ministry. He had 33 years on earth and then 2,000 years in heaven. Here's how he spent them. 30 years was learning obedience. Wow. Learning to do as he was told, to submit to his Father, and to please him in everything. 3 years was spent preaching, healing the sick, casting out demons, training disciples. Three? Wow! Wow! But 2,000 years is spent in intercessory prayer, praying for the church, praying for us. He felt after 3 years, he'd give the guys what he could give them on earth. And he said, the Holy Spirit will be with you to take you on now. But I'm going. And we know that Jesus is a great high priest, the intercessor, interceding for the church, covering us with his, pouring out his blessings, as we join in that ministry and come to him and receive them and so on. Anyway, let's not get too mystical. But anyway, that's the truth. Fascinating. Morning and evening prayer. Let me just encourage you about that. It's important you start the day right, isn't it? You know, the Bible's full of that. David says that very often. Early in the morning, I will think of you. I will seek you. I have my expectation in you early in the day. It's very important that you give the day to the Lord when it starts. You know, me and Margaret always give the day to the Lord. Either I've got up very early and been downstairs and been up Prayer Mountain somewhere up, you know, and then come back and actually get back in bed so we get out of bed together, hold hands and pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray the Lord's Prayer, and then we pray for all of our kids by name. This is quick morning prayer because we don't have time to do the longer one. And then we jump out of bed and start running like everyone does, taking kids to school. And but we always do that. If we sleep in or panic or something goes wrong, while she's ironing and I'm running around with kids, we pray out loud in the corridor. We always pray the Lord's Prayer, minimum. Then when I get in the car with the kids, you know, when I used to take Rebecca to work, we'd jump in the car, we'd say the Lord's Prayer, and we'd pray for the protection of the day and blessing on Rebecca's day, take her, drop her off to work, come back, pick up some more kids. This is what happens when you've got a lot of kids. Pick up more kids for another school run. When the kids get in the car, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. We always do this. The Lord's Prayer is the fundamental prayer of prayers. That's why we did it first. And I just want to encourage you to start the day and end the day. Do you know, I find it's harder to end the day than it is to start the day in prayer. But it doesn't have to be a lot. But you can, you know, end the day with the Lord. It's often repenting, forgiving, putting things right. You know, you're looking back, so you're seeing some mistakes and things, but it clears the decks. You sleep better and everything else. So, morning and evening prayer, it's important. I don't know why I'm looking at. Okay, so this isn't in any order, it's just jumbled as my thoughts came along. Prayer days. Let me just talk to you about that for a minute. Prayer days. The best thing to do, if you're going to start going up these mountains and you get to the point where you prayer day, and you can start whenever you like doing prayer days, is I would say, don't go for a whole day because you'll never do it again. Just go for 2 hours, three maximum at first. Make sure you leave the house. Never have a prayer day in your house. You're kidding yourself. You'll read your emails. You'll make, I'll just have another cup of tea. Oh, I must clean that. I'll just put that back in the fridge. I'll watch that. Dring, dring. Hi. No problem. I'm having a prayer day. No, you're not. You're not. I'll just put a bit of washing in and then I'll keep praying. No. Get out. Early in the morning, Jesus left the house and went to pray, and that's what you do. Well, it doesn't have to be early in the morning. But you leave the house. So, if it's bad weather, you take your car, and you can sit in your car if you want for a couple of hours and pray. That's okay. You can wrap up and just walk in the rain. I've done that many, many times. If it's good weather, great. Get out, walk, be with the Lord. And what I usually do, I don't do this so much because I've got so many prayer tracks now in my head, but what I started doing with prayer days when I was younger was this. Obviously, who knows how to pray? No one does. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Holy Spirit teaches to pray. Why don't we say that three times together to the Holy Spirit now? Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. And then me. Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I used to go out and used to say, right, Lord, this day's yours. Or I've got 3 hours, they're yours. Make that clear to the Lord, okay? This is your time. And I don't know how to pray. I haven't got a clue. But I'm going to walk for 3 hours. So just to let you know, I'm here. And I'm here for you and for no one else. Here I am. Yeah, that's it. You start walking. You've got your clock timing you. So you know you are going to walk for a couple of hours, not 10 minutes. And you go out and you're with the Lord. You know what? The Lord takes you seriously because you took him seriously. So he's with you then. So you might start fumbling praying or just looking at some clouds and thanking the Lord for the clouds and stuff. But I promise you, awesome stuff happens on prayer days. Your thoughts will be lifted. Your heart will be drawn up. You'll start to think thoughts, preach messages. I've received many messages that I've preached on prayer days, just downloads of, I'm walking along and I'm preaching for half an hour. What am I preaching? And it's in me. I remember every bit I can preach at a church. Or, you know, but these are times of God, precious. Prayer days, you can go with someone sometimes. That's okay, providing you spend some time on your own. I've often done that. I think I must do with Andy and Chris, definitely, and Stuart loads of times, and Paul and people. I have a place, I go up the hills. You can get a place in the end. Do you know what I mean? You get these places you go. So I have a place, I go up the hills. I often took the lads up with me. So we'll have worship while walking up the hills, talk together, pray together. But you're going to talk too much if you're together too much, okay? But it's good to have companionship sometimes as well. Maybe, you know, I'm not trying to be sexist, but maybe if you're a woman, you do want to walk on the hills on your own, which might be wise these days, I don't know. You may not want to walk on your own as a guy, so, you know, there's werewolves up there. No. but if you want a bit of fellowship where you're feeling vulnerable, you can go with a friend, go with a prayer partner, brother, sister, someone who understands that you're doing it for this purpose, so when they get up there, they don't mind saying goodbye. That's the point. You get up there, you're right, Chris, yeah, it's great to be together, yeah. You go that way, I'll go this way. I'll see you in 1.5 hours. Okay. And you come back to that rock or wherever you were. You just, you know, remember where you set off. And you come back and you know what? You've both met with the Lord. Oh, scores and scores of times I've been with Pete Conroy when we were younger doing this. And you go that way, brother. Sarah, see you in 2 hours. 2 hours later, we come back together. The Lord has said exactly the same thing to both of us. Scriptures, everything. Phenomenal. God is with you on the hills on these prayer days. It doesn't have to be the hills. Listen, you can walk around the park. You know, if you don't mind walking past 1,000 dogs, you can walk around the park and things. But you get out, walk by the river, do whatever you need to do. Don't walk around the block, okay? A little bit further out. Park minimum, I would say. Jesus always went up the hills. So I'm just copying Jesus because we've got hills. Right, but it's not always convenient or possible for people to do that. I haven't always done that. Many times been out on the fields just... I'm talking about near the school fields, on the bike lanes near where I live. Many times. I've only got an hour, I've only got 2 hours, so I'll just go there. Just walk up and down, walk up and down, walk up and down. The Lord will be with you in it. Okay? Prayer days. This will be all recorded, so I'm not repeating this every time we do this. Fasting. And self-denial. Same thing, really. It's massively connected to prayer, right, in the Bible. And seeking God. It always is. Solomon, big king, loads of money, loads of everything. On his knees, on his knees. That is the place to be. Daniel, massively powerful in the nation of Babylon. Super honored. But 3 times a day, he would do what he always did. Get down on his knees and open his window. Ah, good. Do exactly what I would do if I was stuck in a pagan palace. Get me out. Open the window. Look at the sky. God. That's what you do. Creation. Humble yourself. Fasting isn't about being... It's not about dieting. And it's not about being hungry for the sake of it. It's about humbling yourself. If my people, who are called by my name, before he gets to anything else, humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves. Very important that we humble ourselves. Thought that interesting prophetic word from Mallory there. It's not just the control, the chair, the control chairs that need to go. It's powerful, isn't it? But the face needs to go. Who likes looking naff? None of us in this culture, that's for sure. Because this is the most selfish, egoistic, me culture that has ever existed in the civilization of the world. It's all about Facebook and me and how I look. Absolute garbage. We have to humble ourselves. There's a couple of ways of arming yourself with self-denial. One way is fasting. Right, why? Because you feel ill. That's the point. Oh, I can't. I've had so many people say to me, I can't fast because I've got low blood sugar. Everyone has low blood sugar when you fast, buddy. Oh, I get dizzy. I feel sick. Yeah, that's it. That's called fasting. That's what it is. It's to make you come face to face with your little humanity, your mortality. The truth is, without a hamburger in 3 hours, I'm nearly crying. Oh, man can look after himself. Man can go to the moon. Man can do this. No, buddy, without a bit of sleep, you're reduced to a jellyfish in hours. You are so weak and mortal that I don't know about you, but before midnight, 1 o'clock tonight, I'm going to have to go unconscious for a few hours to be able to cope with tomorrow. Anyone else? Yeah, it's called being human. Get to grips with it before Almighty God. He doesn't need to do this. He doesn't need to do this. He's God. Get before God. Get down, man. Get down, woman. Before God. Lie on the floor. Oh, I don't like lying on the floor because I've got my new jeans on. Hey, when you're out in the hills, get on the floor. Lie on the floor. Hey, you came from the dust. Get on the dust. And worship God as he's worthy of worship. Humble yourself. Fasting is very good for doing that. Listen, if you can't do 24 hours at first, at least miss a couple of meals. Miss breakfast and lunch. Don't miss a meal. Let's try and do this, okay? Eat at tea time. Wesley would not ordain anyone to the Methodist ministry unless they vowed, covenanted, to fast twice a week. He gave them two options. He said he could fast till 4 o'clock on neither food nor water, no drinks, or you can fast 24 hours on drinks only. He said if we fail on fasting, we'll backslide just as surely as we fail on prayer and backslide. It's very strong on fasting. It's important. It's part of Christian discipline. But it hurts. Yeah, that's the point. We're pummeling our flesh. There's one great obstacle to this. My flesh hates all things spiritually and is at war with the Holy Spirit within me. That's what the Bible says. There's a war going on inside me. The only way to overcome the flesh is to pummel it. Pummel it. There's another way of self-denial, and that is called getting up early on a morning. Early rising. I find that even more effective than fasting, personally, in a way of humbling me and make me feel my mortality before I begin my prayer time. And you can get up early in the morning and seek the Lord. There's nothing that your flesh hates more. You want to stay in that bed. You want to be comforted and cozy and safe and have all your rest. And we are, everything in our culture is, this is very difficult for Westerners. Everything in our culture is leaning that way towards look after yourself. And Jesus said, no, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself that food. Deny yourself that sleep. Are you getting this? It's very important. If you want to do the fasting thing and you want to humble yourself before God, any way you humble yourself, kneeling down, lying down, confessing your sins to one another, brings you to reality point. forgiving people from the heart in the light of your own wickedness, repenting of your pride, of stinking pride, very important. Fasting is about self-denial and humbling yourself, actually. Did I mention about the Lord's Prayer? And I'm nearly done. We can pray. Did I mention about the Lord's Prayer? About the Lord's Prayer being the foundational prayer for your prayer life, okay? These other things aren't equal to it. I just want you to know that for certain. So I'm going to teach you a lot of praying through things on these nights, but nothing's as important as one we've just done, okay? So I might be able to pray for a few hours sometimes. And I have different things going on in my life. There's different seasons, isn't there? The seasons where you're absolutely under attack. That's what we're just coming out of. Where Paul said, just stand. You can't take any step. You can't advance at all. In fact, if you're left standing when the season's finished, that's victory. You know, you might be covered in blood and a few broken bones and crying your eyes out, but if you're still standing with God, you've survived. That'll do. That'll do. That's the day of evil. That's what we're going to pray about tonight. It's the day of evil. But and there are other times in my life where it's pretty easy and things are going okay. Those are the times. Look, when the weather's good, do you get climbing on Mount Everest? You've got to get up in a certain amount of days and time. When the weather's good, you don't hang around in the camp. Go for it, 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 because I assure you, within a couple of months, the clouds will roll in and you'll be digging in for every step you take. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about my daily prayer life. I'm talking about myself here. I can't take momentous steps and pray for 3 hours a day under huge amounts of attack. I can't. If everything's against me, emotionally, family, relationally, church, physically, I am human like you. And listen, I'm just letting you know it's okay. This isn't legalism. This is being able to do things you can do when you can do them. Right? It's learning to mountaineer in prayer. So and I have different ways of doing it. So for instance, this might be helpful to you, I don't know, is I do different things in the summer than I do in the winter. Why? Because it's horrible, isn't it, in the dark? Getting up hours and hours before the sun comes up is no fun at all. And it's cold and it's nasty, and so I don't get up as early in the winter just to be able to do it. In the summer, I can get up very early. In the summer, I usually get up between 4:30, 4:45, so that it takes me 15 minutes to become alive. Does it you? After certain things, you know, you learn certain things to get you to. When I was young, I could jump out of bed. Now I surface like an old submarine. Blub, blub, blub. Dribbling tea down my beard. So I have certain things. A shower really helps. Getting up, getting in a shower, and putting the kettle on. That takes me 15 minutes. So I know whatever time I get up, I won't be praying for 15 minutes because it takes me 15 minutes to be able to open my eyes and breathe and say, yeah, I think I'm alive. Okay. Now that I'm talking about, this is the Everest and Kilimanjaro I'm talking to you about here, right? I'm not talking about Rosby Topping. So that means by the time the kids have got up, so I start praying at 5 o'clock. So by the time the kids have got up, I've already done 2 hours. I can't pray after 7 o'clock. There's too much happening. I've got to get going. Leave for school at 8. But I've already done 2 hours of devotional prayer before they get up. So there's only another hour to do. It's easy. I mean, I could have a prayer meeting here. That counts. That's another half hour. And so on and so on. In the winter, I do not get up at 4:30, 5:30. I assure you, you know. I don't think God's up at 4:30, 5:30. But anyway. But what I'm saying is, look, there's different patterns of different people. What matters is the time you're putting in. Oh, does that matter? Actually, in training, yeah, it really matters. You're doing this by the clock, do you understand? That is that biblical? Do you know what? It absolutely is biblical. God has given us God gave us time, didn't he? Something he doesn't have. He gave us days and nights and hours, right? So we can measure our life. That's why, because you have a limited life. So he wants you to measure it. And you do certain things in that time he's given you. Do you understand? So in every 24 hours, he wants you to do certain things in that 24 hours. Worshipping God is one of them, I assure you, is one of them. So the timing of being able to pray for half an hour, do it by the clock. Why? Because you'll pray for 10 minutes and feel like you've done. Or God will touch you and you'll start crying. You'll say, thanks, Lord. That was awesome. I've only been praying 3 minutes. Which is how we feel, you know. No, keep going. Keep going. It's like going to the gym and saying, oh, I'm sweating now. And someone getting your fit will say, no, you need to do half an hour. Now you keep going for half an hour. You keep going for half an hour. When the half an hour's up, you go home. Or an hour. Or whatever it is. Won't they? If you go to a gym, they'll do that. They won't say, oh, I'm sweating. I feel good. You know what? I'm all right. I'll just do 10 minutes. No. Are you trying to get fit? Yeah, well, you do your half an hour. By the clock. Jesus said to the disciples, couldn't you pray for 1 hour with me? It's a fascinating verse. He used time. He didn't say, I'm really struggling, lads. Would you pray with me for a bit? He didn't say, I'm absolutely sorrowful to the point of death. I'm arrested in a few hours. Peter, would you just pray for me? He didn't say that. He used time. I think that's fascinating. He said, couldn't you pray for 1 hour? Wow. 1 hour. Why? Because an hour really counts. That's why. You pray for 1 hour because I'm going over here. How long was he praying for? 1 hour. Because he was going away from them. He was doing exactly what we do on prayer days. I'm going over there for an hour. You go over here for an hour. Sometimes you have to be with people on your own, don't you? You don't want to be totally on your own. That's how Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was so desperate and sorrowful and up against it and not feeling the victory at all. He knew what he needed to do. He needed to go up Everest. He needed to ascend the hill of the Lord. He needed to touch heaven. Ever been there? I've got to touch heaven or I'm dead. I've got to meet God over this issue or I've had it. So Jesus knew how to do it. He said, pray for 1 hour. I'm going over here for an hour. Prayed for 1 hour and he did not, it was not high enough. He had no peace. How do we know that? Because he came back and he was still looking to his brothers for help. And he woke him up, said, Peter, you know, I mean, he must have been thinking, I thought you were going to die for me 10 minutes ago in that meal. Can't you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Some of us have big problems with temptation. Are going to be gone through this, I'm telling you. Gone. Pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh wants to go to sleep. Of course it does, especially when you're down. And they were down. I've never seen Jesus as down as this. They were very down. They were overwhelmed with sorrow themselves. But you just want to disappear, don't you? It's called sleep. And he said, stay awake and pray. And he went away 3 times. So how many hours is that? It's 3 hours. Jesus prayed for 3 hours. After 3 hours, had he touched heaven? Yes. Angels came and ministered to him. He came back and he never said, pray for me, guys. Stand with me. Pray for me. He didn't. He said, guys, wake up. The hour has come. And here comes my church. Oh, it's like, who's this man? He's a different man. Listen, if you go up Everest, you'll be a different man or woman. You will. And sometimes you need to pray through something. I'll pray for an hour. Not enough. Pray again. I'll go and pray for another hour. You know what? This isn't dealt with. I'm going to pray for another hour. Martin Luther said, and he was, you know, the devil and the whole of the Catholic Church were against him, so bless him. But he said, you know, unless I pray for 3 hours every day. That's where I got this from, 3 hours. I didn't pick it out of the, I got it from Jesus. Couldn't you pray for me for 1 hour? I think that's a minimum for a leader, don't you? He said to the leaders, can't you pray for 1 hour? Can't you stay awake and pray for 1 hour? I think you can. You can? You can. I can. 1 hour. Okay. But when you're desperate and you're like Jesus, you gotta go, are you? Pray for 3. Martin Luther said, and I find unless I pray for 3 hours every day, the devil gets the victory throughout the day. He gets the victory. And he wanted to stay on top. He found that if he prayed for 3 hours, and it's interesting, he used time again. He found if he prayed for 3 hours, then he, despite all the reformation demonic going on, I mean, you can't imagine how big. We can't imagine how big. He could still keep victorious above all that if he could get through those clouds. How did he do it? He prayed for 3 hours. So, should we pray? So, can I just underline this one more time? So, what I'm saying is, when I do that 2 hours or 1 hour or whatever I do of prayer, I never just do the whole armor of God. That's what I'm trying to say, long way around, but I'm teaching you. Long way around. I never just do the whole armor of God. Never. I do the whole armor of God just about every day, but I'd never just do that. Always the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because it's the Lord's Prayer. That's why. Jesus taught us to pray this prayer. So don't try and improve upon perfection. Always pray through the Lord's Prayer, brothers and sisters, first. And then, you've got loads of time, start doing other things. Or you do it while you're driving. Or you do it while you're shopping. I do the whole armor of God while we're shopping. Whole armor of God while I'm driving. Our Benji was playing football today. The kids are off school. I took him to the little park downtown. There's a load of Iranian kids. I left him there, and then they've took him somewhere. I don't know where he is. I'm only kidding. And I knew we were playing football with him. And while I look at me, watch on my phone. My phone. Well, I'll give him an hour. See, now in my head, when I say hour, I've got different choices. I can sit in the car and listen to the radio. What a waste of life. I can wander around and just look at the trees. Actually, nothing necessarily wrong with that if you're stressed. And chill it out. It's okay. But I'm going to pray through the whole armor of God. So that's what I did. Just walk around the park praying through the whole armor of God. In an hour, I didn't finish it because I got distracted and started looking at the trees. Stuff. It's all right. God doesn't mind. It's not legalistic, is it? It's saying, right, I'm going to spend deliberate time with God. And if I've got a certain amount of time, I know what I can do. That's all prayer mountain is.